It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Sorry about that. I was trying my best to get everything set up. But, you know, hey. almost made it. It is January 6th, 2022. And that means that, hey, that's right, it's Thursday. We got one more day this week. And it's been a good one. It's a good first week of shows, I think. Just going ahead here and getting connected to comm. If you want to hang out and chat during the show, all you need to do is SSH over to sdf.org. If you don't have an account yet, SSH over is new, N-E-W at tty.sdf.org. And once you're there, you'll follow a quick sign up. And once you're signed up, boom, you'll be able to join into comm. You just SSH over, run comm, that's C-O-M. Press enter, then you press G for go to, then you type in on radio, all lowercase, all one word. Once you do that, you'll be presented with some ASCII art of Anon Radio and a list of everyone who's in there. And right now, there are 69 terminals connected. Oh, yeah. So welcome, welcome. Hello to Publius and Unimagined. Handy C, thanks so much for being here. And just thanks for everyone who's hanging out. Well, it's supposed to get cold today, but that's fine. We're going to go ahead and power through. Let's go ahead and start the way we always start. And that, my friends, is with
world news.
That's right. All right, let's see. Let me make sure. Hit equal sign. Perfect. All right. Sorry. I always got to double check that I'm on. Okay. First, we'll go into Kazakhstan. There were a lot of stories out of there, but we'll kind of condense them down here. Security forces in Kazakhstan say they have killed dozens of anti-government rioters in the main city of Almaty. They moved in after protesters tried to take control of police stations in the city. 12 members of the security forces have been killed and 353 injured in the unrest, sparked by a doubling in the cost of liquefied petroleum gas. Russia is sending in troops at the request of the Kazakh president. They will be deployed to help stabilize the country. Of course, if we go over here from BBC to The Guardian, Russian paratroopers have arrived in Kazakhstan as part of a peacekeeping mission by a Moscow-led military alliance to help the president regain control of the country, according to Russian news agencies. Kazakhstan's president, Kasym Jomart Tokayev, asked for the intervention from the Collective Security Treaty Organization, or CSTO, an alliance made up of Russia, Armenia, Belarus, Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and Tajikistan, late on Wednesday, and it was swiftly approved. It comes as violent clashes continue between protesters and the police and army in Kazakhstan. There is little reliable information on the number of casualties, but local news agencies quoted a spokesperson for police in Almaty, the country's largest city, saying dozens of people were killed in attacks on government buildings. If we ask our friends back at the BBC what's going on, the update here is Kazakhstan's government is restoring vehicle fuel price caps for 6 months after days of deadly unrest. I think that's a good thing. We need a better noise. Good noise. That's right. Woo, the cars are back online. Though originally sparked by the fuel rise, the protests quickly broadened to include other political grievances. Kazakhstan is often described as authoritarian, and most elections are won by the ruling party with nearly 100% of the vote. There is no effective political opposition. Analysts told the BBC these protests were not surprising in a country with no electoral democracy where people need to take to the streets to be heard. As the unrest escalated on Wednesday, the office of Almaty's mayor and a presidential residence were set alight. President Kasym Jomart Tokayev claimed the unrest was the work of foreign trained terrorist gangs and appealed to a Russian-led military, to the CSTO for help. So yeah, they have capped the fuel prices, for vehicle fuel prices anyway, for 6 months. Whether or not that will bring peace, or if it's going to be the Russians helping push everybody down, we'll find out. We'll find out probably tomorrow, depending on how many more people die. Speaking of terrorists, Nigeria has designated kidnapping gangs terrorist groups. The Nigerian government on Wednesday officially listed criminal gangs in the northwest as terrorist groups, including mass kidnappings. Heavily armed criminal gangs have been terrorizing people in Nigeria's northwestern and northern states for years, attacking villages, looting them, and kidnapping their inhabitants for ransom. Sorry. I lost my gumption, my train of thought. Anyway, the government of President Buhari, which has also been battling jihadist groups in the northeast for a decade, is under pressure to stop the activities of the criminal gangs. In Wednesday's Gazette, the Nigerian federal government referred to the activities of Yan Bindinga and Yan Ta'ada, the Hausa names for bandits, as they are known locally, as acts of terrorism. These activities range from cattle rustling to kidnapping, including of school children for ransom, to destruction of property. This qualification implies harsher penalties under the Prevention of Terrorism Act for members of these gangs, their informers and supporters, such as those providing them with fuel and food. Nigerian newspapers report daily raids by these bandits on villages and communities. Security forces have announced operations against the gangs, including air raids and cutting off mobile networks in parts of northwestern Nigeria, in an attempt to root out the bandits from their dens in the region's forests. It's a slippery slope. This criminal violence has its roots in conflicts between nomadic pastoralists and sedentary farmers over land and resources such as water. But the cycle of attacks and reprisals has become a criminal phenomenon over the years. So, we'll see how that plays out there for them. I don't know. I think terrorism laws were set up to be excessively harsh because people were afraid several years ago. And now, things get just not willy-nilly, but a lot of things get labeled as terrorism just to get those sweet, sweet loosey-goosey laws. All right. North Korea successfully tested hypersonic missile, at least according to them. That missile that we talked about yesterday, they're saying it could have gone hypersonic. North Korea successfully tested a hypersonic missile on Wednesday, its first major weapons test of the year, said a state media report. KCNA, that's Kilo Charlie November Alpha, said it previously hit a set target 700 kilometers away. This is the second reported test of a hypersonic missile, which can avoid detection for longer than ballistic missiles. The test comes as its leader, Kim Jong-un, had earlier vowed to bolster Pyongyang's defenses. Mr. Kim said in the New Year's speech that Pyongyang would continue to strengthen its defense capabilities due to an increasingly unstable military environment on the peninsula. North Korea tested a variety of missiles last year amid stalled talks with the South and U.S. Pyongyang joins a small number of countries, including the U.S. and China, in attempting to develop hypersonic missiles. See you later, all. What else? All right. It said the test also confirmed components, such as a flight control and its ability to operate in the winter. Let's see. Oh, here. Sorry, I missed this part. The hypersonic gliding warhead detached from its rocket booster and maneuvered 120 kilometers, which is 75 miles laterally, before it precisely hit a target 700 kilometers away. Hypersonic weapons usually fly towards targets at lower altitudes than ballistic missiles and can achieve more than 5 times the speed of sound, which is about 6,200 kilometers an hour. The new missile was first debuted during a defense exhibition in Pyongyang in October of 2021. If you look at what's going on, basically, there's a nice little graphic. I'm going to go ahead and put the link. Hey, Raleigh. Oh, goodbye, Raleigh. Uh, L. There we go. Sorry, I needed to look that up. In COM, you press L, capital L, and then you can paste a link and give it a title. How hypersonic missiles avoid radar. So basically, what I wanted to tell you was this graphics can be shared at sdf.org/L/GD. So that's like /Lima/Golf Delta. And basically what they're showing is that the a radar is a linear. Hey, Snowdust, hey, Ronald. Cool. Basically what the graphic shows us and tells us is that your radar, or these detection radars, go straight across, like go straight forward and behind them. And so because we're on a circle or an oval, the radar only can see what's on the tangent to that line. And so if you shoot a hypersonic missile and it goes along the curvature of the Earth, you are below the radar, below what the radar can see for much longer. So that's what's going on. All right. No worries, folks, in COM. I just wanted to check because I've done the whole show before and forgot to hit on air or forgot to turn the microphone on or something. All right. Ethiopia's hitting the news. Got two stories from there. And then...
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Ethiopia, Tigray hospital running out of food for starving children. 3-month-old Serafel Mareg lies helpless at the biggest hospital in Ethiopia's war-torn region of Tigray. His eyes are wide open and his ribs pressed against his thin, wrinkled skin. He is among many children suffering from malnutrition because of the 14-month civil war. Serafel's pediatricians at the Ader Referral Hospital in Tigray's capital of Mekelle told Reuters news agency that he weighs 2.3 kilograms, 1 kilogram less than he did at birth. According to medical notes published by the hospital staff, his mother's milk has dried up and his parents, now both unemployed, can't afford formula. Crucially, staff at the hospital say they're running out of therapeutic foods to treat children like Serafel. It is now 6 months since any supply has come from Addis Ababa, the federal capital. A doctor at the hospital told the BBC on condition of anonymity as he feared his family could be targeted. "We've almost finished what we had since our last supply arrived in June. Everything's running out." And the child that they're talking about, oh my gosh, that is a troubling photo. You can go to bbc.com if you want to look at that. In the reports, the doctors blame a 6-month blockade by federal forces and their allies for the severe shortage of medicine and equipment. Since the region was besieged, 35 patients have lost their lives to dialysis service abstinence. Doctors say they've been forced to stop bleeding with their bare hands, wash and reuse gloves, or make their own disinfectant fluids. In his response, government spokesman Legesse Tulu told the BBC the report seemed to be seeking to build a narrative for the TPLF and mimics its claims of a blockade on Tigray. From the government side, there's no deliberate embargo in Tigray that damages our people, he said. Since the war began, agents have complained about not being able to get much aid into Tigray. So anyway, this is just horrible. There's some immense suffering going on there, and it's kind of been reduced to like this byline in most news you see, if they even talk about it anymore. Meanwhile, Abiy Ahmed said his country needed to reconcile. In his Christmas message, Abiy said reconciliation was necessary to defeat what he called Ethiopia's historical enemies. Ethiopians will mark Christmas, locally known as Jinnah, on Saturday. In November, federal forces and their allies beat back TPLF rebels from cities in Afar and Amhara regions. Abiy himself spent days on the front line commanding operations against the rebels. The conflict began more than a year ago and has left many killed and widespread destructions. So far, attempts by the African Union to mediate a ceasefire have been futile. Both rebel and government forces have been accused of committing atrocities. And it is absolutely horrific what's going on out there. Well, that's kind of a bummer. Let's go ahead and look at a song that's like maybe not maybe less of a bummer. Let's see. I think this is the song I want to play. Oh, that's scratchy.
been running down the road trying to loosen my load. I got seven women on my mind. Four, they're gonna own me. Two, they're gonna stone me. One, said she's a friend of mine. Take it easy, take it easy. Founder of your own wheels, drive you crazy. Lighten up while you still can. Don't even try to understand. Just find a place to make your stand. Take it easy. Standing on the corner in Winslow, Arizona, with such a fine sight to see. It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to have a look at me. Come on, baby, don't say maybe. I gotta know if your sweet love is gonna save me. We may lose and we may win, but we will never be here again. Open up, I'm climbing in. Just take it easy.
Shucks. I'm sorry. Let's see. Is this it?
I gotta know if your sweet love is gonna save me.
Cool. I had two versions of this song.
Listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to Anon Radio, which is powered by SDF. And SDF, well, it's powered by you. So thank you for being here, and thanks for hanging out. Appreciate everybody being here and tuned in, or if you're listening on the archives. Hello. We've got about 10 minutes to go before the show ends, so... And the Dubious Goals Committee begins. So let's get moving. There's a lot happening. We're going to jump over into some domestic stuff first, and then we'll go back into the really cool world news. So, hey, Fog, welcome, welcome. So first, Seattle police faked Proud Boys threat during race protests, say a watchdog. It's kind of was expected during... I'm going to give you the not-biased opinion. Version here. Seattle police exchanged detailed fake radio transmissions about a non-existent group of menacing right-wing extremists at a crucial moment during the 2020 racial justice protests, an investigation by the city's police watchdog group shows. the radio chatter about members of the Proud Boys marching around downtown Seattle, some possibly carrying guns, and then heading to confront protesters on Capitol Hill, was an improper ruse or dishonest ploy that exacerbated a volatile situation, the Seattle Times reported. That's according to findings released Wednesday by the city's Office for Police Accountability. The Proud Boys is a far-right extremist group with a reputation for street violence, with several members, including one from a Seattle suburb, charged with terrorism over their allegations related to the 6th of January attack on the U.S. Capitol. That was a year ago today. The ruse happened June 8, 2020, hours after the police department abandoned its East Precinct as protesters were starting to set up the temporary zone that was later called the Capitol Hill Organized Protest, or CHOP. The officers who participated described a group gathering by City Hall and delivered reports such as, "It looks like a few of them might be open carrying," and "Hearing from the Proud Boys group, they may be looking for somewhere else for confirmation." Social media posts warning about the Proud Boys group by people monitoring police radio stations transmissions caused alarm in the protest zone. Though some people in the zone may have brought guns, regardless of the chatter, the ruse improperly added fuel to the fire, Andrew Meyerberg, director of the Office of Police Accountability, concluded. The June 8th radio chatter was part of an approved misinformation effort that police leaders knew about, according to Wednesday's close case summary by Meyerberg, which is now under review by police department leaders for disciplinary hearings. Fabricating the group of Proud Boys violated department policies. So, this is something that has long been a problem, because the police aren't accountable to anybody, and then they're also... it's also okay for them to lie to anyone, so you can't trust what they tell you, so you can't trust what they say, but they're the people we're supposed to trust with weapons. So anyway, all cops are bastards. Lay down your guns. Go get a different job. All right. California prosecutor who campaigned against vaccine mandates dies of COVID. A deputy district attorney from California who regularly spoke out against vaccine mandates has died of complications from COVID-19. Kelly Earnby, 46, a prosecutor from Orange County, Southern California, who recently ran for the state assembly, died after contracting the virus, her family and friends have said. According to Earnby's husband, Axel Matthias Earnby, Kelly was unvaccinated at the time of her death, a decision he had cited on social media posts about her passing. "She was not vaccinated, that's the problem," Axel Earnby said on social media posts. A month before her death, Kelly Earnby spoke out against the vaccine mandates at a rally outside of Irvine City Hall. The protest was organized by Chapter of Turning Point USA, a conservative youth organization representing members at California State University Fullerton and University of California Irvine. Hey, welcome Robert 588 and Perron, thanks for being here. You're here just in time for the Dubious Goals Committee coming up in about 5 minutes. So, this is just one of those gotcha kind of articles, but a lot of people who are opposed to the vaccine will also be the ones who die. It's just kind of a numbers game now. Treasure hunters demand answer from FBI about search for Civil War era gold. Treasure hunters, who believe they found a huge cache of fabled U.S. Civil War-era gold in Pennsylvania, are now on the prowl for something as elusive as the buried booty itself, government records of the FBI's excavation. Finders Keepers, a lost treasure locate and recovery service, filed a federal lawsuit against the Justice Department over its failure to produce documents on the FBI's search for the legendary gold, which took place nearly 4 years ago at a remote woodland site in northwestern Pennsylvania. With its request, plaintiff seeks to confirm the FBI's recovery of Civil War-era gold buried in the mountains of Pennsylvania. Based in significant part on scientific evidence of the gold's existence, that plaintiff provided the FBI. The FBI has since dragged its feet on the Treasure Hunters Freedom of Information Act request for records. There's been a pattern of behavior by the FBI that's been very troubling. She questioned whether the agency has been acting in good faith. Finders Keepers asked the Justice Department for expedited processing, which can be granted in cases where there's widespread media interest involving questions about the government's integrity. However, the Justice Department has denied the request, and as of last month, has yet to assign the FOIA request to a staffer for processing. From the outset, it seems as if the FBI is doing everything it can to avoid answering the question of if they actually found the gold. So, what do you think about that? Look at that. A government agency may or may not have recovered a large trove of gold and doesn't want to tell people about it. I tell you, I'm starting to sound like a conspiracy theorist. I'm sorry about that. I will work to have more neutral news, or at least be more neutral in the future. One last story here before we go through headlines. January 6th riot news. Trump lashes out as Biden gives best speech of presidency condemning Capitol rioters. This is coming to us from independent.co.uk. Joe Biden has given his much-trailed speech marking the anniversary of the deadly riot at the U.S. Capitol on January 6, 2021, a searing address in which he condemned Donald Trump for watching TV during the insurrection as his supporters attacked Congress. He also dismissed the idea that the insurrectionists were patriots, declaring that you can't love your country only when you win. You can't obey the law only when it's convenient. You can't be patriotic when you embrace and enable lies. Those who stormed this Capitol and those who instigated, incited, and those who called on them to do so held a dagger to the throat of America and American democracy. They did not come here out of patriotism or principle. They came here in rage, not in service of America, but rather in service of one man. His speech comes as some Democrats are said to be quietly exploring how they could potentially ban Mr. Trump from holding office again, following the deadly riot last year in which five people lost their lives. Mr. Trump has responded by releasing three statements continuing to air his grievances and conspiracy theories about the 2020 election while calling for the MAGA nation to, quote, rise up against the Biden administration. So, we'll see how that plays out. I don't know. I'm surprised he hasn't had a bag put over his head by this point. All right. France has fined Google, Facebook a record 210 million euros over trafficking online activity. French regulators have hit Google and Facebook with 210 million euros in fines over their use of cookies, the data used to track users online, authorities say. Ukrainian court has seized property of ex-president Poroshenko following treason accusations. And this may be disturbing to some listeners, but Guatemala soldiers face rape trial after 40 years. Five former paramilitary soldiers accused of raping 36 indigenous Mayan women during the 1980s. Severe lockdowns are no longer a tool to contain COVID-19, according to the African CDC. Africa's top public health official, John Nkengasong, said severe lockdowns are no longer the way to prevent the spread of COVID-19. At a news conference on Thursday, the director for the Africa Centers for Disease Control praised South Africa for the way it responded to its latest infection wave. We are very encouraged with what we saw in South Africa during this period, where they looked at the data in terms of severity. Yet the period where we are using severe lockdowns as a tool is over. So we'll see if people listen to South Africa or Africa on that. More than 100 people tested positive on an Italy to India flight recently, and several killed in Sudan protests. Yeah, that's all the time we got. Thanks so much for being here. Enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe coming up in a minute.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.
Ah, shucks. I think I was a minute early. Oh, well. Is there anything else we can talk about? Here's something. It feels like almost everyone's looking for a...